Hi friends, it's John here. For a title today, how's about joy and delight? There's a couple of ideas that I'd like us to think about this week. One is our joy and delight in God, and the other is God's joy and delight in his people. We quite often think about the joy that being a Christian brings us, the sheer pleasure of knowing the character and love of God. That's something that thrills and fulfills our hearts in a real way, in a way that makes the difference to our lives in practical, everyday terms. The joy of the Lord is something that we can celebrate. But first today, I'd like to turn it around a little. Let's look at a verse in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers. In it, Joshua and Caleb are saying to the people of Israel, Numbers 14:8, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will take us there and give us this rich and fertile land. So when that verse isn't about us being pleased with God, it's about God being pleased with us, pleased with his people. That's an important thought, and it's one which is good to spend some time on. In fact, the words used in some passages emphasise it even further. Not just God being pleased with his people, but God being delighted with his people. Wow. Let's have a look at a few passages. So Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That's a very powerful thought, God being delighted with man. That he delighteth is the clue that was from the King James Version. Let's just check that we've got this right by looking at that verse in some other translations. So in the International Standard Version, a man's steps are established by the Lord, and the Lord delights in his way. In the Passion Translation, the steps of the God-pursuing ones follow firmly in the footsteps of the Lord, and God delights in every step they take to follow him. There are many other verses that have this idea of God being pleased with his people. Psalm 149 verse 4, the Lord takes pleasure in his people, he honours the humble with victory. Then Psalm 35 verse 27, but let all my true friends shout for joy, all those who know and love what I do for you. Let them all say, the Lord is great and he delights in the prosperity of his servants. The idea that God can delight in things that we do is an important one. Our motivation for things is often in negative terms. Even from childhood, we probably had thoughts like, I better not do that, mummy won't like it. But how much more motivating is it to think that our Heavenly Father, the Creator of all things, the one to whom we owe everything about our lives, the one who saved us from meaningless lives, can be delighted with what we do? This ties in with that famous verse in Matthew 25:21. Well done, you good and faithful servant. Think of that whenever you wonder about your self-worth. Whenever you're not sure what God is up to in any situation. When things seem a bit tough, just think that this is a case where you are able to let God delight in you. How can you demonstrate the character of Jesus in this situation? How can you let the Holy Spirit inspire and lead your words and actions at this time? If you're not sure what to do next, try asking, what would delight God? What would God's good and faithful servant do? In most cases, it's not hard to identify God's desire. If it does seem hard to know, then ask our Heavenly Father to tell you what he wants. And if he doesn't make it clear which of two paths to choose, maybe that means he's happy with you making your own choice. Let God be involved in all your life and give him the right to direct your thoughts, your words and actions in everything. From small things like which jumper to wear this morning, to which job you apply for. From who do you choose to speak to on the phone, to how many extra chips do you have? Just imagine, if I follow the Holy Spirit's leading in this action, I can delight God. That's quite a thought, isn't it? Sometimes what we see as the big important things in our lives are not the biggest or most important to God. I suspect that God is often more interested in us being able to warmly greet our neighbour of a morning than our ability to preach to thousands in some big meeting. In everything we do, we have the opportunity to delight God. Does that idea get you excited? It does me. God, how can I delight you today? That's quite a question. Let that one pop into your thoughts a few times each day and see just how much it can enliven your prayer life. Matthew 25 passage also suggests that God is good at letting us grow up into being mature servants of his. He will give us small things to handle, and if we delight him in those small things, we can grow and mature, and he can take us on to bigger things. That's very much how a parent encourages their child. Let them build up their confidence doing wee simple tasks before asking them to do big tasks. By doing that, God allows us to develop our faith in him. Faith can be a complicated thing, and of course, it's mainly about relying on our relationship with God. But there's also aspects of faith which can be exercised like muscles. And we all know how muscles require regular use. Doing things that require a wee bit of faith regularly can make it easier to do things which require a big bit of faith when the situation arises. So, mentioning Jesus in our regular conversations can make it easier to get into a meaningful discussion of the gospel when somebody's in a crisis. Or contributing to good causes weekly can make it easier to contribute a lot to some project when we feel God is asking for such a thing. God always wants to stretch and develop us in terms of faith, trust, love, and character. I think it's very true to say that in our Christian life, every day is a school day. And just like a parent is pleased when their child learns a new thing, or does what they've been asked, so is God pleased with us when we trust and obey him. When we become more like Jesus, when we take steps to follow, as that verse said, God delights in every step they take to follow him. Please note that there's a real sense of happiness about how the Lord feels in his servant being faithful. The King James has it as, "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." It makes me think of the story of the party with the fatted calf and the story of the prodigal son. A real feeling of genuine happiness with God wanting everyone to share in his joy. Another passage that gets across the idea of God's rejoicing at a person's actions is the picture of the lost sheep in Matthew 15, verse 7. In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 respectable people who do not need to repent. I'd suggest that we don't often let ourselves, give ourselves the time and the space to think about how God feels about us. To us dour Scots, there's a hesitation about thinking that we could be anything like the apple of God's eye. We're better at thinking of ourselves as miserable sinners than concentrating on how we are now saved by grace. But when we are saved by grace, we have the freedom to obey God's command to be like Jesus. And that makes God delighted. And the word is delighted. Hang on to that word. Not just slightly chuffed, but delighted. There's a quote which a friend posted just the other day, which seemed appropriate as I was dwelling on the idea that God could be delighted with us. It's a quote from Pope Benedict. Each of us is the result of a thought of God. Each of us is willed. Each of us is loved. Each of us is necessary. That might be the first time I've quoted a pope, but there's some real deep truth in that. Of course, there are dangers in turning these kind of thoughts round the wrong way. It's possible to fall into the trap of thinking that the delight that God has in us is something about how good we are. Of course, it's not. And we need to avoid becoming self-righteous about it. The Rabbi Burns poem, Holy Willie's Prayer, is a great one here, with some lines which are very good at bursting our own bubble. If you like sarcasm about hypocrisy, read that poem. So, in thinking about God's delight in what we do, we need not put the cart before the horse. It's God's goodness and grace which matters. All that we have to do is trust and obey. But let's come back to the other side of the coin, the joy and the delight which we have in God. There's something very life-affirming about how we can rejoice in God's grace and goodness to us. When we think about Father God's outpouring of love to us and that relationship with which Jesus has reached out to us, and how the Holy Spirit leads and fills and sustains us, we should be joyful. It is right and proper that God's love to us causes joy in our hearts. And there's a connection between our joy in the Lord and our spiritual strength. There's that famous verse in Nehemiah, Nehemiah 8, verse 10, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." This idea that joy and strength go together is important, and it's all tied in with being in the presence of God. 1 Chronicles 16:27, "Glory and majesty surround him, power and joy fill his temple." Psalm 40:16, "But let all those who passionately seek you erupt with excitement and joy over what you've done." That combination of excitement and joy is a wonderful thing. We do well to cultivate the freshness and the vitality there is as we are rejoicing in God. John 17:13, "And now I am coming to you, and I say these things in the world so that they might have my joy in their hearts in all its fullness." Note that there's something permanent about such joy. John 16:22, "That is how it is with you. Now you're sad, but I will see you again, and your hearts will be filled with gladness, the kind of gladness that no one can take away from you." It's being with God in a real active way that produces that joy. Acts 13:52, "The believers in Antioch were full of joy and the Holy Spirit." So, in thinking about joy, We also recognize that the Bible often tells us to rejoice. That is, to think on things that cause you joy or delight. This is a conscious and an active thing. It's something that we choose to do, and we can do it often and repeatedly. So I'd suggest as an exercise, you take a few minutes, let's say at least 5 minutes, in a quiet part of your day to spend in rejoicing. Perhaps rejoice in a slightly different way to how you normally rejoice. Rejoicing isn't worship, but they are related. Rejoicing is focusing on the joy that God gives. And we can do that in many different ways. You could do this exercise now, but it might be better to do it sometime later, probably best done on your own in a few quiet minutes. It's a sort of prayer and meditation thing, and this sort of prayer and meditation needs a bit of time. It works best when you can relax and concentrate in God, without the TV, without your mobile phone, without distractions. I'm suggesting to use thankfulness to lead to praise and to concentrate on the joy that God gives. Feel free to rejoice in whatever way works for you, but find a way to tell God how much joy he gives you. What I'd suggest is you do something like the following. We want to start thinking about a very simple joy and delight. Think of something that makes you joyful or happy or even just contented. Think of a simple thing which you enjoy. It might be something as simple as a good meal that you've had recently, or a special time with a friend, or a lovely walk, or some bit of exercise which really got the endorphins flowing, or reading a great story, or simply staring at a beautiful flower or a painting or a view. Anything which puts a smile on your face. It might be something very private or even intimate. God knows everything about you. He knows what you really like. The thing that gives you joy could be a big and life-affecting thing, like salvation. Or it could be something really simple. For me, I think that starting with simple things works best. What I'd be inclined to start with would be thinking about something which is guaranteed to put a smile on my face. Let's say a chocolate digestive biscuit. Just the one, let's not get excessive about things. When did I last have a chocolate digestive biscuit? How did it taste? How crumbly? How chocolatey? Concentrate on that kind of thought. Focus on the pure joy that there is in that simple thing. How it makes you feel good. It's that really positive feeling which is the essence of joy and delight. Conjure up the picture of the thought of enjoying that thing. And then simply start to say thank you. Say thank you to God for giving you that thing. Think of the delight which it gave you. It doesn't matter what the details are, because God knows exactly what you mean. He was there with you in that time that you're remembering. So start with a simple thank you. And then let your mind and heart expand that thought. Take a bit of time to stretch the thought from thank you for that good thing to thank you for every way you have looked after me. Then think of times when you knew that God was looking after you, when you knew God was giving you special things. Think of how God came into your life in a real way. Now think of what you know of God's character. Think of how generous he is. Think of how forgiving he is. Think of how he has changed your life, how he reached out and rescued you, how God put you on the straight and narrow, how he held out his hand to lift you up, how Father God was willing to help when only he could. Then let your thank you become praise you as you focus on God's nature, his love, his concern, his desire to bring you into relationship with him. Let that praise you develop into a deep down rejoicing in your heart. Thank God for the fact that he wants you to be joyful with a real deep gladness, a delight which reaches beyond any human happiness, a joy which is rooted in the eternal life which God has given you. And he's given it to you as a simple gift, not because you deserve it, but because he is so good, so loving, so kind, so generous. And at that point, just begin to recognize that the feeling of joy is God-given and God-inspired. It's a joy that cannot be taken away regardless of circumstances, regardless of things which happen. It's a delight in the eternal nature of our Heavenly Father, who never changes, who is never fickle, he's never in a mood or in a huff. God never says, I'm not listening to you, or I'm not speaking. He is ever loving, and we can rely on him 100%. As you thank God for the joy, tell him how much he means to you. He loves to hear from you, and it's good to put him in his rightful place, that highest place in your heart and your head. Be thankful, be honest, be joyful, be relaxed. God wants you to enjoy himself. Enjoy time with him. If it feels right, sing, cry, speak in tongues, express yourself any way that lets that joy out. And now, start to thank God for the fact that the joy he gives makes strength within us. It invigorates the life of Jesus within us. It develops the character of Jesus within our hearts. And it helps us do the things which Jesus would do. And in doing those things, we then create delight in God's heart. So, imagine there is something that we can do and we can be which causes some of that same feeling of joy in God's heart. Words which we can think, things which we can do which make God happy. What a wonderful relationship God offers us, and it's a two-way thing. So allow yourselves to share in the delight that God has in you. As he sees you doing the things of Jesus, as he watches you picking up the habits of Jesus, he is delighted. What a thrill that should give us. We can celebrate with God as he changes us into the likeness of Jesus. Take some time to pray that through, thanking God for what he does and celebrating with God that we can become more like him. And I'd suggest that you round off this time of meditation with the idea that this is a truth which God wants you to dwell on often. He wants you to know that he loves you, and he wants to lead you into things which will delight you both. So, finish off your private time with God by offering him your heart, your focus, your desire to be with him. Let him inspire you in everything you do, and enjoy that two-way relationship, that you might delight in him and he might delight in you. So that's it for today. Let's delight in God and allow him to delight in us, his people. So take care of yourselves, stay safe, and hopefully I'll see you soon. Bye.